Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to give you the context, the real insight you need for complex topics. And today, we're tackling premium bonds, you know, that kind of unique investment, the one that promises your money's totally safe, but also maybe you win big in a lottery each month. Our mission really is to get specific. We're diving deep into the limits, how much you can actually put in, and trying to figure out why this government-backed thing is still so attractive, especially for cautious investors, you know, globally. We've got sources looking at the UK limits, which are pretty strict, and then comparing that to what's going on in the Gulf, and also looking at things like Sukuk and real estate platforms as alternatives.
Yeah, and it's a really important area because premium bonds, or PBs, they're not your standard savings account. They sit in this interesting little niche. They're fully government-backed, right? So your actual capital, the money you put in, is completely safe, 100%. But the catch, the famous bit, is they don't pay any regular interest. Instead, you get a shot at winning cash prizes, sometimes pretty big ones, every month. And that mix perfect safety plus that element of chance, it really appeals to a certain type, you know, the careful investor who still wants a little excitement.
Okay, let's unpack that then, that specific mechanism. Because, I mean, if you take away the prize draw part, you're basically getting zero return, right? Your money might even lose value because of inflation. So why is that combo, the safety plus chance thing, so strong that people pick it over, say, just a high yield savings account that does pay interest?
Well, a lot of it comes down to behavioral economics, actually. The main draw isn't just safety, it's psychological safety. Knowing your capital cannot be touched, it feels really secure. That really resonates with conservative investors, maybe retirees, people whose main goal is just preserving what they have. But then the monthly draw adds what some of our sources call the gamification element.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. It literally makes saving feel like a game.
Exactly. A normal savings account is pretty passive, isn't it? You just sort of watch the interest trickle in very slowly. PBs create this active feeling, this anticipation. It's like a little positive emotional kick each month, you know. Every month you could win £1 million or 100,000 or maybe just 25 quid. And that psychological boost, it makes saving feel more engaging. It can actually motivate people to save consistently, maybe more than a guaranteed, but let's face it, often tiny interest rate would, like 1.5% or something.
Right. So it's kind of the perfect middle ground if you want to steer clear of, say, stock market ups and downs or crypto volatility, but find regular saving a bit dull. It gives you secure base, flexible too. But okay, like any investment structure, there have got to be rules, limits. We need to talk about those boundaries, the maximum investment limits.
Absolutely. Knowing the limits is, well, it's non-negotiable, really. If you're thinking about PBs, you need to know this for planning how much capital to use. And also because, like we said, your potential return here is tied to how many entries you have in the draw. So the limit matters. And these are usually national things, so the limits are fixed, but they do vary depending on where you are.
Okay, let's start with the classic, the UK model. That's the main example in our sources. And they seem to have really clear rules.
Oh, yeah, very clear. For UK premium bonds, the minimum you can put in is pretty low, just $25 accessible. But the key number, the standard maximum any one person can hold, is capped at £50,000. That's the absolute limit for playing in this particular system.
£50,000. Okay, and that number is crucial because it directly sets your maximum odds of winning, right? You can imagine someone putting in exactly £50 trying to maximize every single chance they have.
Precisely. The more you invest all the way up to that £50,000 ceiling, the better your chances are each month. So the limit is really, really relevant to your potential return, even though, yeah, it's return based purely on luck.
Okay, so we get the UK limit, £50K. But what happens if you're, say, an investor in the Gulf? Our sources looked at places like Saudi Arabia, the UAE. The UK product isn't really available there, is it?
No, not directly. And that's where things change quite a bit. Investors in the Gulf region, they generally have to look at local options. So they might explore things like local government savings bonds or, and this is really important, there are Sharia compliant instruments called Sukuk. These are structured differently, obviously, but they often fill that same basic need for, you know, secure long-term savings.
And do these alternatives have similar caps? Like a straightforward £50K equivalent?
It's less straightforward. The sources suggest the minimum investment for these regional options is often pretty low too, maybe around the $100 equivalent mark sometimes. but the maximum investment, it's much less consistent than the UK's rule. It often just varies by product. So it depends heavily on whether you're looking at a specific local savings bond issue or maybe a particular Sukuk offering that's available. You definitely have to do more digging there.
Okay, that makes sense. And this brings us back to that core trade-off we mentioned earlier. The whole returns versus prizes thing. Security is guaranteed. We've established that, but the return isn't.
That really is the absolute key point to grasp. Your capital is safe, 100%. But how you get any return is entirely down to a random draw overseen by the government. Every single £1 bond you hold is basically one unique ticket.
Yeah, and the source examples really help visualize this, don't they?
They do. Think about the difference in odds. If you invest, say, £1,000, which is decent but modest, you have 1,000 chances, 1,000 tickets in the draw each month. But compare that to the investor who's maxed out, right? Holding £50,000. They have 50,000 entries every single month. The size of your investment directly multiplies your participation, in this case, by 50 times.
Okay, but here's where, you know, my inner skeptic pipes up. And I think any smart listener would ask this too. If the returns aren't guaranteed, and the data seems to show the average payout often lines up with the government's prize rate, which itself is often lower than what you'd get from a fixed deposit, well, isn't the investor basically just paying a sort of hidden fee for the fun of the chance? Paying for the thrill?
That's a really good question. A necessary one. And the answer is, well, it's a bit complex. Yes, if your only goal is maximizing guaranteed income yield, then mathematically, yeah, high-yield savings accounts or fixed deposits are usually going to be better. What you're paying for with PBs isn't just the potential yield. You're buying two other really important things. Absolute liquidity. You can get your money out easily. Anytime, no penalties, and guaranteed capital preservation, which means zero market volatility risk. None at all. And for people who prioritize those two factors, liquidity and total safety, above getting the absolute maximum guaranteed return, then maybe that lower expected average return feels like an acceptable trade-off.
I see. So PBs are fundamentally about keeping your capital safe and liquid, plus offering that sort of exciting lottery ticket chance of an unexpected bonus. It's more like a highly secure, easily accessible savings pot, not really a core income-generating investment. That distinction feels really important, especially when we think about global investors who might have specific ethical considerations. Which brings us back to the Gulf region.
Exactly right. Since direct access to UK PBs is limited there, investors in the Gulf tend to gravitate towards things that offer security alongside returns that are guaranteed, or at least predictable and also ethically sound.
We mentioned Sukuk earlier. For listeners who aren't familiar, can you briefly explain how Sukuk works? How does it give predictability where PBs just offer chance?
Sure. Sukuk are often called Islamic bonds, but that's a bit of an oversimplification. The crucial difference is that Sukuk represent part ownership in an actual underlying asset, maybe a building, a project, infrastructure. So the returns you get aren't interest payments, because interest is generally prohibited under Sharia law. Instead, the returns are based on profit sharing from how that underlying asset performs. So Sukuk typically offer fixed or profit sharing returns, which gives you that predictability needed for, you know, long-term financial planning.
Okay, and that leads us right to probably the most critical question for some investors. Are premium bonds considered halal? Are they Sharia compliant?
Yes. This is a really nuanced area, and there's definitely scholarly debate, which the sources touch on. On the one hand, the capital itself is fully guaranteed, it's protected, that's good, but the returns, the winnings, come from those random prize draws. So the debate really boils down to whether that prize money is seen as maisir, which means gambling or excessive uncertainty, basically, or if it's viewed more like hiba, which is like a permissible gift from the government paid out of its general funds.
So because there's that element of chance, that randomness in the return, even though the initial money is safe, that could be a potential issue for some investors following Sharia principles.
Precisely. If an investor needs something that is definitely, unambiguously Sharia compliant, the sources generally advise steering clear of PBs. Instead, they'd recommend options like Sukuk or maybe specialized Islamic savings accounts where the profit sharing principle is very clear and followed strictly. So yeah, it's this interesting balance, isn't it, between the sort of excitement of PBs and the need for predictability and ethical alignment. That's exactly the kind of deep dive clarity we need, understanding that conflict is vital. Okay, so let's shift gears slightly. How do PBs actually fit into a sensible, diversified global investment portfolio? Well, they are quite unique, as we've said, but generally they're best used as a kind of safe liquid anchor in a portfolio. If your main goal is guaranteed, steady income, like actual compound interest income, then fixed deposits or maybe high yield savings accounts are probably better tools for that specific job. If you really prioritize liquidity, getting your money fast, and maybe accept modest yields, then things like money market funds or short-term government debt might be preferred. PBs really hit that specific sweet spot, high liquidity plus perfect capital safety. That makes them potentially great for things like an emergency fund or just preserving a chunk of wealth while still giving you that little monthly lottery thrill.
Okay, and here's where it gets really interesting, I think. We have to look beyond just cash or cash-like things. How does something like PBs pair up with, say, an asset-backed investment, like the real estate opportunities mentioned in the sources, specifically the Gamma Assets platform?
Yeah, that's a great point. PBs probably work best when they're not your only holding. They should ideally be paired with other assets that are actually designed to generate measurable income or growth over time. Gamma Assets is a good example, particularly relevant for listeners in the Gulf, maybe. It gives investors access to fractional ownership in real estate projects, starting from quite a low entry point, like 500 SAR, apparently. The key difference here is that this kind of investment offers tangible, measurable yield potential that comes from the performance of real assets. It's not relying on chance or a random draw like the PB prize system.
Right. So you could picture an investor maybe maxing out their 50,000 pound limit in UK premium bonds, getting that security anchor and the chance of a bonus, and then they might allocate another chunk of their capital to something like Gamma Assets, aiming for actual measurable income and maybe some growth from property.
Yeah.
That feels like a pretty resilient approach.
It really is. That's kind of the definition of building resilience through diversification. For global investors, it makes sense to think about allocating capital across that whole spectrum. You might have your highly liquid, secure, prize-based savings like PBs as the foundation, then layer on some fixed income things for a predictable yield, and then maybe add some income-focused real estate or even equities for growth potential. That kind of strategy helps balance risk, income needs, liquidity, and yeah, even that psychological boost factor.
Okay, we've definitely covered a lot of ground. We know the UK max investment is 50,000 pounds and why that number matters for your odds. We've really dug into the core trade-off. Security and the thrill of chance versus getting a guaranteed, predictable income. And crucially, we've looked at the alternatives for investors in the Gulf, especially Sukuk, and the important ethical compliance questions around them.
And having that understanding is just so important for making good decisions about where to put your money. Premium bonds, they offer this unique kind of financial resilience by guaranteeing your capital is safe. You have to remember they're a specific tool. You absolutely must understand the limits and the fact that the returns aren't guaranteed before you make them a big part of your overall strategy.
So what does this all boil down to for you, the listener?
Well, financial resilience, as we've explored, really comes from layering different types of financial products. Using the strengths of each one, PBs are fantastic for security and getting your money out quickly, but they probably need some partners in your portfolio to deliver the income and growth side of things. Yeah, and maybe I can leave you with just one final thought to mull over. Think about how much that psychological boost, the engagement, the fun of the monthly draw, plus that perfect liquidity, how much is that really worth to you personally? Especially when you weigh it against the certainty of a perhaps lower but guaranteed fixed interest rate somewhere else. You know, where do you strike your personal balance between fun and function when it comes to saving your money? Answering that will probably tell you how much, if any, of your money feels right for something like premium bonds.